Well, there's been a lot of celebration and storytelling out at Wave Hill over the past few days to mark the 50th anniversary of the walk-off by the Gurindji people, the seminal event that's credited with the beginning of the land rights movement. But there's a huge backstory to that walk-off, a story much greater than just work and wages. It's one about decades of massacres and murders and violent oppression of the local mob by the newly arrived cattle pioneers. A storytelling project for children in Katherine unearthed these stories. Linguist Erica Chirola began recording the tales of what has happened since white settlement and before. And in the book that she's co-edited with Felicity Meekins, she begins with stories of the dream time told to her by local Ronnie Wavehill, including mermaid stories.
He started telling me about these women that are half fish, you know, the tail part. And I said, oh my goodness, you have mermaids too? And then he sort of said, oh, you have mermaids too? He didn't know that we have mermaids. And then I started looking into it. There in every continent. It's just amazing how these stories are just sort of all over the place.
That would probably be the lighter side of your book, though, because things get pretty dark through the years when the cattle industry was trying to set up in the area. Some of those massacre stories, incredibly, once again, incredibly detailed and obviously passed down with all that detail through how many generations would it be?
Well, unfortunately, it's not that many. The detail is a reflection of how recent the history is and also how important the stories are. All of that detail, sort of the attention to the body positions, I think, I've heard that that's a feature of people's observational skills, people who are dependent on hunting, are sharp with observing every detail of the movements.
Even to the point, one particularly horrible massacre, there's revenge taken and the two white men who are burning the bodies of the Aboriginal people get chucked in the fire themselves by these two hunters who creep in on them. And they talk about the when the other white men came down to try and work out what had happened to them, they actually see a charred, elastic-sided boot in the fire, and then they realise what's happened.
Yeah, yes. That's the details of things like that, the clothes, and that sort of is reflected in the stories.
There's some horrendous massacres there and really large-scale ones. How much are they reflected in police reports and in newspaper reports at the time?
We couldn't find anything. That doesn't mean it's not there, but we just couldn't find anything. Often they're referred to really obliquely as sort of skirmishes or dispersals or any kind of euphemism. Those are two common phrases. So, yeah, I think people knew that they could theoretically be punished for committing these acts of atrocity, and it was not in their interest to document them.
In terms of the emotions that Aboriginal people were feeling through those killing years, you managed to get that across pretty well in English. There's one line where it says the Katia, who are the white people, didn't try to like the Nyumban, they just shot them.
Yeah.
That's a pretty strong sentence. Is that pretty well how they said it?
Yeah, it is. People talk about these sorts of things in English as well, and that's the kind of phrasing they use.
And I guess the thing that comes out of this too is that there was just must have been a tremendous amount of anger sizzling all those years before we got to the Wave Hill walk-off over these past tragedies.
Anger and also, I think, frustration and disappointment because it didn't have to be like that. When I look at the overall history, how many missed opportunities to build something collaborative or worthwhile, especially if you look at the history afterwards as well, you had this period of slavery, effectively, where people had to work and didn't get adequate compensation for their work, and quite aside from the brutality of the working conditions. And then afterwards you have this era where people are entitled to a wage, but there was no work then because the cattle industry had changed and the stations were sort of opposed to hiring people at the higher rates. And so the chance to bring people into some sort of satisfying workplace, it was just never there.
So with your stories, how are they received by the youngest generation now? Are they still being passed on? Do they still matter?
Yeah, absolutely. The elders tell them to the young people, in the evenings when you're having supper or something like that.
From your point of view, was there a particular story that really did surprise you?
I think the one that was the sort of most heart-wrenching in some ways, which was the most complicated, is the one of Raul Yari, the police tracker. And because it really sort of highlights the psychological impact that those social conditions had on Aboriginal people. There's a police tracker called, his other name was Smiler, and he sort of let the power go to his head, and he became like a super enforcer of sort of the attitude of the time rather than playing a constructive role. And he ended up shooting, killing an Aboriginal man. And he cut off a finger and took it back to the policeman, the white man, to show him, you know, that he'd taken care of this troublesome individual. And the white policeman said, oh, you shouldn't have done that. He wasn't doing anything wrong. You should have just let him go. So that was the end of the story. And then later we asked if the family hadn't paid this tracker back for the murder, because it was just a murder outright. And they had sent someone to murder him sort of in the Aboriginal way. I won't give away all the details, make it worth reading. But just, yeah, the details in that story, and to sort of think, well, how did this individual become like that? And it just must have been an awful time on so many different levels.
Erica Tirola, she's a linguist and co-editor of Yijani, True Stories from Gurindji Country, a thoroughly good read, published by Aboriginal Studies Press.